Turning your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. All the kiddos can go downstairs to Children's Church at this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. And I would ask you if you would please stand in honor of God's word this morning as we read it. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. Here we go. It says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in the severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that he had started, so that he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this manner I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it, so that now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, and there may be fairness. As is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your word, Lord, and I thank you that we can learn from this scripture this morning and how to be generous with our time and our talents and our finances, Father. And Lord, this is a lesson for the church, and this is something you put in there to warn us, Father, and so I believe we need to talk about it. So I thank you today for your word, and let it become alive and active in us today, and let your Holy Spirit work. In Jesus' name I do ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to talk today about giving. And I think this is in here for a reason, and Paul obviously has it here, and it's kind of a warning to the church, and it's almost saying that, that something as we grow that we should be actively pursuing, that making sure we're doing this. And when I say giving this morning, I want to make sure we're all on the same page and we understand where I'm going with this. There are multiple ways of giving. I'm going to talk about giving of your time this morning. I'm going to talk about giving of your talents, a scripture that we read in Sunday school this morning we're going to read, and also our finances, and how we view giving. This is an important thing. And if you remember, about a month ago, we looked at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and it gave four things that the early church was devoted to. And one of those was breaking of bread and sharing things with one another. And it was giving, and it talked about giving. So that's what we're going to talk about today, and how we view giving. You know, a lot of times when a pastor says, "I'm going to preach on giving today," or stewardship, you see people get real uneasy at this point, or they want to head for the exits, right? I mean, it's kind of like, oh man, it's one of those things that kind of gets uncomfortable, right? And I think we get uncomfortable by it because we really do need to change the way we view it and how we do get to give. Here's some statistics for you, and let me say this morning that I don't believe these are true for this congregation, but these are churches all across America, and here's some statistics for you. When the Bible talks about giving here, and in this passage, it's talking about taking a special offering to help the churches in need at that time. But it is interesting to note that the Barna Research Group says, and through doing research on it, that only 9% of Christians faithfully give their finances to the church. Only 9%. And though roughly 17% say that they do. So that leaves almost 83% of people that say, you know what, it's just not important and I'm just not going to do it. And I think obviously they need to change their viewpoint on how they give. But I think also people that are faithful in giving, we can sometimes get a bad attitude too about how we give of our time and our finances. And so I think this morning our attitudes may need to be changed about how we give. And maybe if you're here this morning and I'm preaching to the choir, that's okay. Hopefully you can learn some lessons here. But I want you to really think about our attitude. And when we do give of our time and talents, do we give it grudgingly? When we give it, are we like, oh, I really don't want to be doing this? Or are we stingy with our time? And when our time's important, I mean, and what is our attitude about sharing what God has given us? The context of the passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is concerning the church in Jerusalem and how at that time they were struggling. And the Macedonian believers had given generously to this special offering that Paul was arranging. And it's kind of ironic here that the early church in Jerusalem, those were the ones that were on fire for the good news of Christ. And they were growing. And now they were at a time where they were in desperate need. They were in need. And in Jerusalem, that was the center of Jewish life. And those believers were outspoken for Christ at great cost also. And now they were suffering economically, socially, and emotionally. And when I read this passage, it even reminded me of just how fortunate we are to live exactly where we are. Just a few short months ago, we took a trip, me and Sierra took a trip to Cape Town, South Africa. And you talk about struggling economically, the church struggling over there to meet basic needs that we just take for granted around here. And we are so fortunate that what God has given us and blessed us with. And I think we need to be reminded of that. But I want to look at three different things on giving today. And it's almost like three different corrections in how we view our giving. And the first one is really found in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 8. And that is that giving is not a punishment, but this is a privilege. It is a privilege for God to work through us. God was working powerfully in the Macedonian church there, and it was an ordeal. I mean, they had heard about Jerusalem, but it was an opportunity, and they had joy about being able to give. There was severe poverty, but there was also a wealth of generosity. They didn't have a whole lot, but they were willing to give whatever they had. And I think that reminded me is when we're put through a test, or we have an ordeal coming, how we respond to that really says a lot about who we are as followers of Christ. And in our giving, but also in just in how we are as followers of Christ. In verses 3 and 4, it talks about that it was a privilege that they had an opportunity to meet the needs of others. And the Macedonians had begged for that opportunity. So they looked at this as giving as not as a punishment, but it was a privilege that they got to do. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says this, "Each one of us must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So when we're serving, when we're serving the Lord, do we look at serving Christ as a punishment or a privilege? Now, I know there are certain jobs in the church that you think when you're doing those jobs, you think, oh man, this is a severe punishment. And even the worst jobs, I mean, my wonderful wife this morning, as we got ready to do worship, I said, "Honey, you look really nice today. You look really pretty." And she said, "Well, I don't feel pretty. I was puked on in nursery," right? So that's not a glamorous job, right? Okay, so sometimes we can view these jobs as a punishment, but giving back to God should not be viewed as like we're paying our taxes. How many of you like to go pay your taxes in December? Nah, it's not fun, right? And we always have to pay in the personal property tax, and we go up to the courthouse to pay that. It's never fun. That should not be how we view giving to God of our times and talents. It is an honor. It should be an honor to us that we get to serve the King of Kings. It's an honor, and it's something that we give back. It's an honor to support the missions that we support. It's an honor to get to go and serve at Freeway on Saturday night. It's an honor to get to do that. It's an honor to serve in the local church. We shouldn't look at it like it's a bad thing or it's a punishment for having to do that. We should be excited about it. So when someone comes and approaches you, and here's a question I want to ask. If when someone comes and approaches you about serving or about teaching this week, what is your attitude? Is it almost like, this is horrible, I really don't want to do this? Or are you excited about getting to do it? I mean, the opportunity, listen to me, the opportunity to share God's word in whatever setting you're in, from a classroom downstairs to Sunday mornings to teaching little kids, we should be excited about that opportunity. And that excitement shows when we invest time in doing it. And we're excited about doing it. Do I view it that way? Is that my attitude about giving? That it's a privilege and not a punishment? Do I have that attitude? Now, how much time, this is a question I asked myself this week. How much time do I spend serving the kingdom versus my flesh? If we were to look at our calendars, how much time do I invest in the kingdom versus what I want to do in my flesh? And that will tell you a lot about where you are in your walk with Christ and how you've grown. If you are serving the majority of your time spending at serving the kingdom, and when I say serving the kingdom, I also mean serving your family, because that's important. Serving the kingdom versus what I want to do. Now, I mean, here's the old adage. Everyone knows the old adage that they say that 10% of the church does 90% of the work. I want to say this morning that I'm very thankful of all the people here that go and serve the kingdom. It's an honor. I've never personally seen such a serving congregation and church in my life. So I'm honored that we serve. But we got to keep growing in this. And this is a warning that we can't get complacent. Because you know what happens when we start to grow as a body? You know what happens in large churches when you start to grow? You know what happens? People start to fit in. Like they think, I can hide. I'm going to go and hide. And I'm not going to get involved, and I'm going to let the church do the work. Or I'm going to let the church serve, and I'm just going to slip in and hide. No. That's not what this is. This is about, it's not a punishment to get to serve. It's not a punishment to get to give. It should be a privilege to give back. So how do we view that? If your view today of giving of your talents and time and finances to Jesus is a burden, then I would think today that you have a heart issue and you need to repent of that and think about how much he gave for you in order that you can give now. So it's not a punishment, it's a privilege. Second thing, in verses 5-9, this is not an obstacle. Giving is not an obstacle. It's an opportunity. It's another way. In verses 5-6, this is an opportunity for worship. It's another way to give of ourselves to the kingdom. It's an opportunity for growth. At this time, the Corinthian church was known as, it was a happening church. I mean, it was a place to be. There were great things that were happening. And they were well-funded for a church in that day. They were located in a prosperous city. Things were growing. And it was going good, much like what I see today. But you know what they needed to do? They needed to grow in their giving. They needed to grow in their giving. When you truly give yourself to God, You have little problem giving your substance to God. When you're growing in God, the more you want to give to him, the more you invest in the relationship. I read this this week, I want to share it with you. Famous evangelist Charles Spurgeon preached one time a year for an orphanage that he funded. At that meeting, they would hear this famous pastor preach, and then he would ask for people to give. And after one of these meetings, to give towards the orphanage, and after one of these meetings, when the sanctuary was emptying out, a gentleman from the crowd came up, and he was a real super spiritual guy, and he liked to nitpick everything. And he went up to Spurgeon, and he said, "Why, Mr. Spurgeon, I thought you only preached for souls and not for money. I thought you only preached for souls and not for money." And Spurgeon replied, he said, "Why, Mr. So-and-so, normally I do preach for souls and not for money, but my orphans can't eat souls. And if they did, my brother, it would take four or five the size of yours to give them one square meal." Now that's a hammer down statement, right? But he's right. How do we view getting to give? Do we look at it like that God is taking something from us, or do we view it as an opportunity to serve Him? When we are serving the kingdom, when we're doing things around here, when we're teaching classes, when we're serving at Freeway, when we're going out and making visits, we're not serving each other, we're serving Christ, and we're giving back to Him. We have to view it like that. Our generosity says a lot about where we are spiritually. It's also an opportunity to be like Jesus. 1 John 3:16 through 18. 1 John 3:16 through 18 says this: "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not live in the world or talk, but in deed and in truth." You know why I believe he called them little children? You know why I believe he said little children there? He wasn't talking to little kids. You know who he was talking to? Spiritually immature believers. You know why? Because this is a lesson that you should learn right off the bat as a follower of Christ. That's one of the lessons in our discipleship book is about giving, right? Why? Because it's a lesson we should learn early on. And when we become faithful followers of Christ, this is you just do it. This is something you do that you don't even have to think about anymore. Yeah, I want you to think about it because it's an act of worship, and we should be praying over what we give back to God. Something I was convicted of this week that I don't do enough of, right? I told you that. But this isn't a lesson that you should be learning 20 years after you've been a follower of Christ. That's why he says little children, because they're still infants. There's a great opportunity in this world, and what an example that we have to be like Jesus. If there's anybody in this world that I would want to be like, it's Jesus. If there's anybody, guys, our prayer should be on a regular basis: Lord, make me more like your son. Show me areas of my life that I need to grow and get better at, because I don't want to stay a little child. Show me areas of my life where I can get better and I can grow. And it's an opportunity. If you were to ask me who I want my kids to be like, what do we say? We even tell our kids, I'm sure you do too, we want you to be Christ-like. When you go to school, be like Christ. If I was to ask you today who I want our church to be like, I want our church to be Christ-like in their giving. I want people to look at Crossbridge and see this church loves Jesus because of how they treat people, how they give, how they serve of their time and their talents, to have a heart like his. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Verses 14 through 28. This is a story that we read this morning in Through the Bible downstairs. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Well, yeah, I will. Let's read it. We got time. Matthew 25, 14 through 28. "For it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he had two talents, made two talents more. But he had received the one talent, went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing the five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents here. I have made five talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also said to the one with two talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents here. I've made two talents more. His master said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the one talent came forward and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received that was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about not only our finances that God has blessed us with, but he's also talking about your abilities and your talents that he has given you. And when he invests, God has invested certain talents in this room that I'll tell you, frankly, I just do not have. I mean, if you guys had me lead the song worship one Sunday morning, it would be like claws on a chalkboard, right? Now, Tryson's pretty agile. He could fill in the sermon, but don't have me doing the music because I'm just not musically inclined at all because God didn't give me those gifts, right? But he gave certain people in here those gifts. And there's certain people that are great with kids. I go teach the kindergarten through second graders and their eyes get real big because I'm loud and they think I'm mean and they get scared of me. I better not be teaching kindergarten, first and second graders. I mean, I'll try to if I have to, but I'm just not gifted in that area. But some of you are. I'm not good at working on church maintenance stuff. Sam just came up to me a minute ago and said we're going to have a church work day on October 28th at 9 a.m., to do stuff to this building and try to get it from collapsing in on us. So we're gonna fix it up a little bit. So be here for that work day. I'll be here, but I'm gonna be carrying material for somebody because I'm just not good at that. I'm willing to admit that. But God gave some of you that talent. And when you take that talent and you don't invest it, you are the last servant in this story. When God gives us talents and we don't use them, we are just spitting on them. And we're not using them to glorify him. When God blesses us financially and we don't use it to glorify the kingdom, you might as well be spitting in them. You wonder, listen to me, you wonder why you don't trust Christ with your finances and you struggle over and over. It's because he says, if you're not faithful over little things, I'm not going to make you master over big things. If you're not just faithful over a little, how do you expect him to make you faithful over more? That's truth. Giving to God is an opportunity of worship. It's saying, Father, thank you for the gifts that you've given me. Thank you for what you've done for me. Now I'm going to use the talents that you've gave me to serve the kingdom in whatever way you're gifted at. You know, I mean, Gary Dawn back there in the back. Gary Dawn's going to run a dozer for us pretty soon over on the new land, aren't you, buddy? Don't put me on the dozer or we won't have the dozer left, okay? But he's going to use his talents to help serve the kingdom. See what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. Are you doing that? Now listen to me. Only you know whether you're doing that or not. And if you're sitting here this morning, the Holy Spirit is convicting you and saying you're not using your get talents to serve the kingdom, you're not financially giving, then do something about it. Change it today. Repent and turn to him. Repent and turn to him. Guys, I want us to have a heart like him, to be concerned with things that he's concerned about, to be passionate about what he's passionate about, to be involved in things that he wants us involved in, to be like his son, Jesus. You know, when Jesus, listen to me, Jesus didn't hang out with the preachers of his day. Like, if Jesus was in town on Saturday night, I tell people this a lot about Freeway. If Jesus was in town on Saturday night in Marshfield, Missouri, he would not be coming to my house to sit and shoot the breeze with me. You know what he'd be doing? He'd be out talking to people about who he was, because that's what he did in Scripture. So if he does that, guess what? I better do that. We better get busy. Third thing, giving is not a burden. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be like Jesus. It's a blessing. He's not laying upon us another command that you have to do this. He's saying, I want to bless you. It's a blessing that you can partake in. Proverbs 19:17 says this, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. When we're generous to the poor, you're lending to the Lord. It's a blessing to give what we have. Now, I know everybody automatically thinks that this is about finances, and it's not, because financially, you're going to find out in business meeting, this church is doing good because we are generous, okay? So this sermon's really not even about finances. Maybe it is to a couple of you who aren't being generous with your finances, but this is about our time and our talents. When I sign up to do something for the kingdom, and I have a bad habit of doing this, I'll sign up for 100 different things and try to do 100 different things 10% good. You know what I should do? Sign up for one thing and do it 100% all in. When I say that I'm going to do something to serve the kingdom, I better do it, and I better do it with everything I got to serve the king, because that's who I'm serving. And it's an opportunity to be blessed. It's an opportunity to be blessed. Don't sign up for something if you're not willing to do it. God measures the sincerity of our heart more than he does the size of the gift. You see, it doesn't matter how big the gift is. It doesn't matter that we have one person that preaches. You know, I could stand up here and preach and only do 10% good, and you could be cleaning the toilets and give 100%, and he's going to care more about that than he is this. Because your whole heart is in it. You understand? It's not about the size of the gift. Luke 12, 33 and 34. Turn there. Luke 12, 33, 34. It says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure? Where's our treasure? What we spend our time, our talents on is where our treasure is. Where's your treasure? The Bible records Jesus is saying in Acts 20, 35, it's more blessed to give than receive. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? Think of a $100 bill. If you had a $100 bill in your pocket, just think about that. About if somebody gave it to you or if you give it away. How much more of a blessing? I don't know, like at Christmas time, you know, when we have the tradition of giving gifts to people, it's always, in my opinion, a lot better to give something away than it is to receive it. I want to be honest with you guys. Last week, I was pretty miserable downstairs. Let's be honest with you. You know why? Because I don't like attention. I don't like people giving me stuff. I would rather give it. I would rather be the one giving it away than somebody giving something to me. And I think all of us would agree with that. It's so much better when we give. It's so much better when we give. Because of the believers who took the good news into all the world, the Corinthians who were spiritually bankrupt received eternal life. Now it was time for them to return the favor, just like it is with us. We at one time were spiritually bankrupt, and Jesus died for us. Now, you know what? Not that we could ever repay that, or not that we're trying to ever repay that, but with our time and our talents, Lord, I want to show you how much I love you and appreciate you by serving the kingdom. That's the motivation. That's the motivation. Listen, church, we have to be on guard for this. And we have to always remember to be generous. No matter how big we get, we can't blend in. We have to be generous with our time and our talents. Listen to me. I know this may sound like I was beating you up, but you guys have proven for 2 years in a row that you're doing this. Okay? Let's don't stop. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep going. I told somebody this week, they said, man, with all the ministries that we're involved with everything that this church does with outreach and discipleship, is it even fair to some of the other churches, this competition? I said, I don't care. Let's run up the score. Let's run it up. Let's keep serving the kingdom. Let's keep reaching the lost. Let's run it up. That's our responsibility. All we're responsible for is what's in here, right here. Okay, that's what we have to do. We have to be on guard for this. We can't be a church that's worried about storing up a big bank account. We have to be willing to further the kingdom. So today, my question for you is, are you generous with your time, your talents, and your finances? Jesus gave everything he had. Now it's our opportunity to give to him. I want to give everything that I have to him. If you would stand this morning, we're going to have an invitation. In concluding this today, giving is not a punishment. It is a privilege. How do we view it? How do we view giving back? Are you giving back? Are you excited about giving? Or when it comes time to do it, is your head down and you're just like, I hate doing this. I don't want to do it. If that's the case, it's a hard issue. And get right. Get it right. Giving is not an obstacle, but it's an opportunity to further the kingdom. Next Saturday, we may not have anybody come to know Christ, but we're going to plant some seeds next Saturday. That's an opportunity to grow the kingdom. Every Saturday night, every Sunday morning when we teach, it's an opportunity to further the kingdom. Giving is not a burden. It's a blessing. Partake in the blessing. Listen to me, one day, everything that we own here, our trucks, our cars, it's all going to be junk. It's going to be rubbish. Where are we storing up our treasures? Are we storing them up there, or are we worried about down here? I want to be worried about up there. I want to store treasures up there that never become moth-eaten or rusty, and they're going to last for eternity. That's where I want to store my treasures. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for your word, Lord, that challenges us in our walk with you. And Lord, that we can show how much we love you by our giving of our time and our talents, Father. Lord, this morning, if there's people here that don't have a personal relationship with you, Father, that haven't turned their life over to you or just aren't excited about being here, Father, that's a hard issue. And I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will deal with that this morning and convict them, Father, and they'll get on their knees and ask forgiveness and repent and turn to you, Lord. Father, if there's people here that are just stuck in limbo, they're not using their talents to serve you, Lord, I ask, Father, this morning, that your Holy Spirit will also convict them to get involved, to get plugged in with this local body of believers, to use their talents that you've given them, Father, to serve the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for sending your son for us, Lord, and we just want to give back because we love you for no other reason, not that we're going to get something for it here, but that we're going to get something there. We're going to store up the treasures in heaven. We love you, Lord, and I thank you for this church, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
tells me of the guilt within. Would I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin? Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul.
Amen. I want to say this morning, we have a guy who always is sitting in the back, always serving. I want to recognize him this morning too. I ask this guy a million things during the week, and he always gets it done. He sends out our prayer requests. I'm constantly sending him emails. He does the video board. Everybody turn around and give Michael a big hand back here in the back. I'm pretty demanding on you, aren't I? And he does a great job. He does a great job. Hey, I love you guys. Thank you for coming today. 10 minutes after we close here, we'll have a members meeting. If you're not a member, please stay. We'll pass out church finances. We got a little bit of business to do. Won't take that long. So I love all you all. Have a wonderful day. The weather's beautiful. Alan, would you close us in prayer?